This is the EWN Radio Network.
You've waited. You've wished. You've hoped. You've dreamed. Now it's time to act. Time to move toward the life you want to live. This is EWN Radio, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello, this is Leslie Green, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust on EWN Radio. Okay, so we all have the same 24 hours in a day, and let's be honest, in general, we lead pretty hectic lives. Another given, with it being the first week of the new year, how many of you have something about being more organized on your list of New Year's resolutions? No matter if it's January or July, we'd all like to keep that one up and going, but being organized evades many of us, baffles some, and never even crosses the minds of others, which is kind of baffling to me. But that's until they realize that they've missed a deadline or allowed something huge to fall through the cracks. And if you're ready to be more productive throughout your day and more successful while being less stressed, then this show is for you. Let's welcome our guest, Paula Rizzo, author of Listful Thinking, Using Lists to Be More Productive, Highly Successful, and Less Stressed. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you. Some people geek out on cleaning their houses, like they get to be obsessive cleaners, or some people geek out on exercise, you know, they get all into CrossFit. I kind of geek out on lists, and I think there are a lot of us, you and I, there are a lot of us out there. So, Paula, lists. How did you geek out on lists? How did you become an expert on lists?
I know. It is a geek-worthy topic, right, for sure.
For sure.
I've always been a list maker, but it didn't really kick into high gear until I became a television producer. I was a live TV news producer in New York City, and I still am. I don't do live TV anymore, but I'm a segment producer I'm a senior producer, and I produce health segments. But, keeping all of those, balls in the air and making sure that everything that you're doing is going to happen on deadline, because it's super strict deadlines. Like you have, 10:54, you need to be ready to go and your segment is going to air with or without you. So having the lists was really helpful to keep me on target to know like what's coming next. And in live TV, there's always a rundown. So the rundown is literally just telling you what's the agenda, what's coming up next. And so that sort of mindset for me was really helpful to get things done for that 1 hour newscast. And then I started seeing, oh, I can use lists for other things, and it's really helpful. And so I was not really using it at first at home, because I felt like, oh, I'm at home, I don't want to do what I do at work, because that's work, right? And it shouldn't be so difficult. I don't want to be so structured. But the truth was, everything was falling through the cracks. I was forgetting stuff, and I felt sort of like a mess and overwhelmed. And I thought, you know what, this stuff really works at work. Let me see if I can apply it. So the real thing that helped was when I was looking for an apartment in New York City with my husband, and we were, overwhelmed, didn't know where to look. I would walk in, I would get confused. I would say, oh, which one was that? Was that the one on the fourth floor, or did it have the wine fridge? And, if there was a wine fridge, I was just distracted looking at the wine fridge and didn't look at anything else, So it wasn't effective. And I ended up making a checklist of all the things that I wanted to look at when I walked through the space. And that's what I would do if I go out on a shoot. I have a list of all the questions I want to ask, every shot that I need to get before we leave, so that I make sure that I'm done. Everything, distractions pop up like a wine fridge. I was able to sort of keep on task. So when I did that, it was really helpful, and some friends asked me for the list and said, people aren't doing this, the woman who I gave the list to, her real estate agent, loved it, and he was like, can I have a copy of this? I need to make a copy for my clients, because no one ever knows what to ask. They don't know what to look at. They're really overwhelmed. And so then I started my blog, listproducer.com, because of that, because I was like, well, this sort of comes easy to me, and I can, help people figure out how to do this stuff on a daily basis. So that's kind of how the list love affair started.
I understand, because, really when we think about our lives
and our phones are going off all the time. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day that the phone actually knows how to make my bed for me, because it knows how to do just about everything else for me. But as it's going off and texts are coming in and Facebook messages and emails and all this stuff, I think we've become a society of bright, shiny object people. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's the next bright, shiny object? Oh, and then I sometimes stand there and say, well, what was I just doing? And I'll have to go back into the room where I had that thought in yep. order to trigger the memory of, oh, I was about to put the clothes from the washer to the dryer. So I think that as much as we can make lists to kind of help us to get all that extra chatter out of our brains, the better. But I'm wondering this, because lists seem to be like a very tactical, logical, linear kind of thinking thing to do here. Is there an art to making lists, Paula?
Yeah, well, there is a right way and a wrong way to make lists. And sometimes people who are, like, let's say they're artsy type people or they're creatives, a lot of times they say, I don't want to do that. I'll lose my edge. I don't want to be so structured and have all this stuff. But the truth is, and the woman who wrote my the foreword for my book is Julie Morgenstern, who's a very well-known professional organizer, and she was an actress. And she thought the same thing. She's like, oh, no, disorganization is what makes me me and what, helps me to sort of, keep creative. And when she realized that once she actually got the things out of her head and put it down on paper, and so she didn't have to remember it anymore, she was actually more creative because she was able to use that brain power for what it's really supposed to be there for, creating, not remembering. So I think that's like a big flip for people. And also, there is, like I said, there is a right way and a wrong way to use a list. So just writing everything down that you have to do for the rest of your life is good initially to just dump it, get it all down on paper. But then from there, you need to make smaller, more actionable lists and kind of set yourself up for success in that way. And I like to make my lists every night before I leave my desk at work for the following day. So I do a daily list every single day. And I look and I run through every single thing that I need to do the following day, and I make sure that's on my list. So when I come in the morning and, people are at my desk asking for 10 other things, I can deal with that, but then I also already have my list of my intentions set for the day. Like, what was I really supposed to be doing today? Oh, yeah, that's right. Let me get back to the list.
And do you believe in daily lists only, or is it okay to have a weekly list or a monthly list?
Yeah, I think that the thing with this is that you need to figure out what works for you. That's the hardest part of this, because people want just like the quickest answer. Like, what works the best? Just let me know what pen to buy. What notebook paper should I have? And all of that. And it's like, it depends on what you will utilize most. What will make you use that tool the most? And that's the right one for you. So for me, a daily list works. And I've been doing that for years and years and years, and it's a great, goal, because at the end of the day, everything is done. I'm able to cross everything off and then start the next day fresh. But sometimes you can do it, by project or, by client or something like that. And weekly lists work too. I just think that even if you do have a weekly list, I think being able to break it down into actionable items, like here's sort of like an agenda or like a checklist of like, here's the things that need to happen today to get me closer to that goal of finishing this by the end of the week.
Do you ever take your calendar and kind of sync up, and I don't mean exactly, but do you ever give yourself a block of time on your calendar to work on your to-do list? Or, I mean, how does your calendar and your to-do list kind of marry each other or not? Are they completely divorced all the time?
No, I think they do kind of intermingle a little bit, but what I do is I like to work in short spurts, because I'm just a huge procrastinator by nature, and people like never believe that. They're like, no, you're so organized, and it's like, I really work hard at this, because I will wait till the very last second for everything and then be totally anxious and so annoyed that I did that, and so I've put all these systems into place to no longer do that, and I'm just so much less stressed because of it. But one of the things that I do is I play a lot of games with myself. Like, I'll look and say, oh, okay, it's 11:14 right now. How many emails can I write until, go through until 11:30? Let's just see, and I'll time myself. And that's just like a way to get myself going, just to start, just to go through. You know, or sometimes people say like, oh, I'll work on this report for an hour. So for me, like an hour is too long. I know I'll just get distracted. I know I won't do, you know, quality work in an hour. So I have short 10, 15 minute, 20 minute spurts that I work in. And so that's actually called the Pomodoro mm-hmm. technique, 25 minutes of targeted work. And you're supposed to set a timer. And when you veer off, you're supposed to stop the timer and then go back and start the task again, and then you start the timer again. But for me, 25 minutes is too long. My attention span is too short for that, so I do 10, 15 minutes. And then once I get to like that 15-minute mark, I feel like, okay, I'm in the groove. I'm going to do another 15 minutes. And in the shorter, small little chunks of time, it's just easier to do 15 minutes at a time rather than like an entire hour. It's just a psychological trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of writers use the Pomodoro technique too. So mm-hmm. I know that when I first learned about that and I was trying to write my first book, I would set an egg timer, and it really did help. Some of these things may sound no-brainer, but it's like, then why don't more people do it?
But you have to actually do it, right?
Exactly. It's like, oh, in theory, that's a great idea, and duh. But
right,
it's like,
sure,
okay, yeah, duh, but you're not doing it. And also another thing that I'm hearing you say, Paula, kind of a pattern in a couple of your answers have been, you really need to tweak the devices that you're using and tweak the methods that you're using to meet your individual needs. Because when I went online, after I started reading your book and researching, looking at your blog, and I thought I was pretty much a list expert. But as I started looking at, well, what is my ideal to-do list? And I know I'm paper and pen, kind of like you. But I couldn't find that exact list, because on there it would have me check the boxes for, did I drink my 8 glasses of water? And I'm like, water's not an issue for me. I drink like a lot of water. Okay, so, and then it was like, I don't want to write down what I'm having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I've got that part of my life down. So, you know, it was like, oh, Paula, could you just design one for me? So, or an app for me or something? So talk to me about apps, because I know that there are several out there that you like. And if you could start with a really simple one first and then just maybe some of your favorites.
Sure. Well, my favorite, and it's very simple, it's called Wunderlist, WUNDERLIST, Wunderlist. And that one is strictly just for list making. And I like it because I'm very purposeful about where I put my lists. So that's the other thing that people always say, like, oh yeah, I make lists and then I can't find them. Or I put them in this notebook and then I didn't take the notebook with me. And then, you know, they're constantly losing their lists or putting it on the back of a receipt or something. So for me, I almost, in the way that you should leave your keys in the same place every single day so you know where to access it, the same thing with your lists. Like for me, that daily list that I make at my desk every day before I leave, it goes in a notebook that stays in my desk. And then when I come in the morning, there it is. So I do the same thing with apps. There are certain apps that I use for certain lists. So Wunderlist I use a lot for, like, if I'm going to go to the drugstore and I need like 5 items, or I'm going to Sephora and I need a couple of things. I just throw it in there so that when I'm in the store, I have it, and it's sort of an ongoing list. As I run out of things, I go to that, right to Wunderlist, and I put in, oh, eyeshadow or whatever it is that I need. So then the next time I'm in the store, I have it all there and I don't have to sit and think, oh, what are the things that I need? I knew I needed something, you know. I try to capture things as quickly as they come into my head. So I think Wunderlist is really great for that. And I also like, they have a share option so you can share lists with other people. And I do this with a friend of mine who, you know, she and I see each other or talk, you know, quite often, but it's always that thing where it's like, oh, I had this thing to tell you and now I forgot. And then you leave and you're like, oh, I didn't tell her this. So we actually keep an ongoing list of when things pop in our head that we need to tell each other. We put it in Wunderlist. And then when we're together, we're like, oh, let's just check Wunderlist real quick to see if there's something else I needed to tell you. And it's like, oh, yeah,
how
that's
cool.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that? I have a friend that I'm like that with, too. And whenever we get on the phone, it's like, oh, what was that thing I wanted to tell you? I remember
It
was actually pretty important. Okay, hold on. Let me think. It had the feel of something maybe athletic. So was it a workout I saw.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
And you okay, literally, so. Like, work yourself into it. Yeah, so I think for that, it's really effective and helpful. And then, you know, maybe there's some people that you're not going to share your list with, but you could keep an ongoing list, you know, for things you need to tell your mother or, you know, whoever when you get on the phone with them so that you don't forget. Just a place to capture it, and then I know that that's where that list lives. So I always know where to find it.
All right. Well, I'm Leslie Green, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with Paula Rizzo. We will be back in just a moment with more listful thinking. Don't go away.
Do you struggle with trusting in your life right now? Is there something that keeps creeping up in your business life or personal life that you're not sure why you're having such a difficult time letting go of it? Or maybe you've experienced something for the first time, and it just doesn't feel quite right. Something you'd like to talk over with someone else who maybe isn't quite so close to the situation? If the message of trusting yourself and loving yourself resonates with you, but you feel you'd like a little more, why don't you visit pixiedustradio.com and set up some time to talk to Leslie one-on-one. Right now, she's offering 20-minute complimentary trust consultations to do just that, to dive deeper with you. Leslie would like to better understand what it is you may be struggling with and offer whatever wisdom and strategies she has gleaned over the years to apply directly to your specific situation. You'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish in just 20 minutes. And this goes without saying, but she wanted to make sure you know. Everything you discuss is completely confidential. Leslie's goal for everyone, her listeners, readers, even for herself, is to be able to inch closer to a true feeling of peace in our everyday lives. And because of that, she is happy and honored that you trust her enough to share a part of your life with her. For your complimentary 20-minute trust consultation, simply go to pixiedustradio.com to sign up. All one word, pixiedustradio.com. And now let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello and welcome back. For those new to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, thank you for joining us. The show was created to encourage you to live your life to the fullest through accessing your love, self-love, trust, understanding what it truly means to trust yourself, knowing trust begins within you first, and your pixie dust, your belief system. In today's show, let's put our focus on self-love, loving yourself enough to set up systems, ways, tools you can use to better your health, lower your stress, and allow time for you to do the things that you love in life. When you free up time to do the things you love, well, I mean, I think that's kind of, because people say, you know, what does it look like to love yourself? Well, I think that is what self-love looks like. You're getting yourself organized, doing the things that you need to do to take care of things that we have to do. We have to pay bills. We have to buy groceries. We have to run kids here and there. But then so often we're depleted at the end of the day and we don't have time for ourselves. So I think that that's one of the ways that we show ourselves self-love. So Paula, one of the things that I just mentioned here was our health and lowering stress. And you work on a health segment in Fox News. And so I believe that I read, it was either on your blog or some promotional material you have, that the Institute of American Stress has discovered that 44% of Americans feel more stressed than they did just 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and that 54% of American employees feel overwhelmed. That was according to a different study. So what role do you believe lists can play in to have those numbers decrease?
Yeah, I just think everything is just overly, you know, overboard, and we're so addicted to stress and to being busy. You know, if there's like 2 seconds in your day that you have for free, people think, oh, I need to fill it with something. I should be doing something. And a lot of times people think, oh, the more busy I am, the more important I am. And it all kind of goes together. But for me, as much as I can outsource to other people, free up my time to do things that I really want and be less stressed, like that is a win-win 100% for me. But being less stressed is a huge byproduct of writing lists. And so just being able to sit down and write out all the things that are in your head that you think you need to do. Sometimes you think like, oh, I'm so busy. I have so much to do. I can't imagine getting through the day and finishing everything I need to do. And then when you actually sit down and you write out the list, you see it and you're like, oh, you know what, actually there's not that much to do and I really, you know, I can give this to somebody else or this doesn't even really need to be done and that's only going to take 5 minutes. So actually I'm in pretty good shape. So we sort of make it worse in our heads, and I think once you write it down, being less stressed, it just happens. You know, it's so much easier to just get it down on paper, and then you don't have to remember it, and that takes up this brain power that you have that you could be using for other things. And I think the other thing, too, is being able to set the intention. Like, I love that idea of saying, okay, here's my goal. Even if it's just pick up milk or, you know, whatever it is, even if it's something small like that, but being able to set that intention sets you into motion. You know, whether or not you really know how, it does. And there was a study, another study done that found if you write something down, you're 33% more likely to achieve it. So anything, I mean, it could be, you know, oh, I want to go to Florida, or I want to go do this, or I want to go do that. If you write it down, you're 33% more likely to do it.
And I also read somewhere that once you have written it down, if you draw a little picture next to it, so if it's the example you want to go to Florida, you put a little sunshine or a beach or something, and then I believe it jumped up to like 66% or something.
Really?
Yeah, I think it almost doubled, if I remember. I think it
doubled.
I
love it.
Plus a little. So I think when we have that visual, and then it went on to say if you do something auditory behind that, and I'm like, wait, now I'm getting overwhelmed.
It's a lot, yes. I'm a terrible artist, right?
But you're already asking me for a stick figure on a beach, and that's, right. You know, that's asking a lot. So, well, I think that, you know, we're not even halfway into the show, and I think that we have lots of good reasons to make lists. We've talked about lowering stress, so I'm not going to give you a specific number here, maybe top two, top three, but what are some of the reasons that people should make lists that we haven't discussed already?
Yeah, I mean, stress is just, it's a big one. And I think just goal setting is really important. Sometimes I'll write lists. It doesn't have to be a daily to-do list, but it could be something like, you know, your life list or something that you want to achieve in the future, whatever it is. And just being able to write it down and say, you know what, I would love to, you know, live on in the south of France. I don't know how that would happen. I'm big on you know, vision boards and things like that. And I think lists play the same sort of role in just sort of allowing yourself to just set these goals and write them down. Even if you think it's ridiculous and you think, oh, I could never achieve it, you never really know how just writing it down will sort of set you in motion or remind you that you wanted to do those things. And I also think just from a you know, organization standpoint, just being able to stand out at work or with whatever project you're doing, I'm very purposeful about the way that I make lists in meetings, and it always made me stand out. So, you know, I'd be having a meeting, and at the end of a meeting, you know how that goes. Everybody goes their separate ways, and it's like, oh, yeah, what were the bullet points that we needed to get done? But when I'm in a meeting, I'm writing a list of the things that need to get done as soon as I leave this meeting so that we're able to set this into motion. And so that makes you stand out because your boss sees that and says, oh, this is somebody who actually is invested in getting things done, and the list is the way to do it, you know? Same thing with phone calls. When I'm on a phone call with somebody, oh, yeah, you know, could you send me that PDF of whatever? It's like I'm writing it down on my list to do so that I make sure I get to it and it's not one of those things that I've forgotten.
And I think also being purposeful in the way that we set our meetings, because when I was in corporate America, I would do back-to-back-to-back meetings, and then it's like you just want to, you know, kick your feet up at the end of the day, and you're like, what happened at 9 a.m.? Because it's 6 p.m. And when you go back to back like that, you don't actually have the time to jot down in between, right?
No, yeah. So that's why I do try to do it. The same thing, you know, if I'm going to a conference, I'm writing a list, you know, I meet people and I'm making a list throughout the day of who I want to contact, who I want to follow up with, and why, what the reason is, what's the intention, what's the, you know. So I do it sort of as we go. So then at the end of the day, I'm not like, oh, I don't even remember. I have to look back at my notes. That's part of my note-taking process, is to be able to start making the list of to-dos from that meeting. But you're right. I mean, the way that meetings are done in corporate America is such a time waste. first off, you know, you talk for the first 15 minutes about how everyone's weekend was and all of these things, and it's just like, okay, you need to get to it. But I think also having an agenda is really important, or a checklist. There's a guy who I interviewed in the book. His name is Joe Duran. He's the CEO of a company, financial company, and he will not have a meeting with anyone if they don't come with a checklist. So they have to have a checklist of what's going to happen in that meeting. Because he's like, it's a total waste of time otherwise, you know? He's like, I need to know what the intentions are for this meeting, what we're going to go through, so I make sure that it's time well spent. And that comes from the Checklist Manifesto. That book is really a game changer for a lot of people.
Yeah, I won't meet with a client unless they have a list of things that we're going to cover. Otherwise, it starts to look like a therapy session with, well, I'm having a hard time trusting because blah. Well, wait, no, I'm not a therapist. I've never, you know, declared that I am. And we're not going into your childhood. I need to know the three things that, you know, can boost more self-confidence. And let's talk about these things.
Right.
So, yeah, I won't. It just ends right there.
Yeah. It's just being able to do that work ahead of time. I think the more preparation you can give to anything that you're doing, and, you know, lists really help you to do that, is to just do that preparation beforehand and think it through, so that the first time you're in that meeting, it's not the first time you're thinking of this, or you're like, oh, and then you forget of a whole bunch of things. So there needs to be a little bit of prep time before you even go to a meeting. And a lot of times, like, I'll make meetings sometimes at, like, not 11 a.m., 11:15. So then at 11 a.m., I have my alarm go off for 11, and I'm like, oh, I have that thing in 15 minutes. Okay, let me just get some thoughts together real quick in this 15 minutes before I go.
That's
just to give yourself
idea.
A little bit of pad.
Yeah, because you can accomplish in 45 minutes what you could have accomplished in an hour with cutting out the chit-chat. And honestly, another thing that you just made me think of when you were talking about meetings is, oftentimes if you don't give any forethought before the meeting, I think that you just show up and start to brainstorm, and I was putting two words together, stream of consciousness. So brainstorm and stream of consciousness are just kind of going at the same time, and that's not super productive.
Exactly. No, that's a good point, definitely. I just think doing that pre-work, even if it's 15 minutes, even if it's 10 minutes, of just like, okay, let me look through, let me make a list of the things I want to make sure to hit during this meeting, or questions I need to ask, or whatever it is, just to go through it beforehand is really helpful.
Now let's talk about saving money. Can making lists help you save money?
Sure. I mean, I think the biggest way is with groceries, because, you know, so often you'll come home from work and you'll be like, oh, I'm so hungry, let me just get some takeout. So that's not the healthiest option every single day. And also, it's not the most cost effective. So I think making a list, first off, of, you know, dishes that you could put together during the week is really helpful, to be able to say, okay, here's the dishes that I really like that are easy enough that I can put together in 30 minutes. And then sort of going through your week, thinking ahead and saying, okay, now I'm going to, you know, a business dinner this day, but I'll be home that day so I can cook, and looking through and then making that list, making, you know, the grocery list very purposefully, again, just for those dishes. So you're not going to the supermarket and just buying, like, oh, here's this great avocado, let me just buy that, and it sits in your counter, and it rots away and you never use it. So I think being able to, you know, cook for those dishes specifically, I do it every week. It drives my husband crazy, but it really works. So it cuts down on the cost, and it's a lot healthier if you do it that way.
Now, I found, you know, once I really started getting into these lists, and again, I thought that I was an expert until I started reading your book, and so I started thinking about dinners and feeding the family and how to do that differently. So I actually bought, and I believe it could have been in your book, you mentioned, was it Knock Knock Stuff or?
Yeah.
Or it could have been Amazon that I ordered it from. But it is a pad of paper that on the left-hand side, it has, like, you know, each day of the week. And then on the right-hand side is a grocery list that only takes up like a third of the paper. It's a little bit more narrow. And you can, and it's perforated. So you just figure out what you're going to have every single day. And sometimes I don't, because maybe Friday is a free-for-all, or it's a pizza night or whatever, a leftover night. But it makes it so much easier. And a lot of times, if we don't plan, at least me, if I don't plan the weekly dinner, in the back of my mind as I'm doing my other stuff throughout the day, I'm always thinking, what do I have to feed the kids?
What are we going to make?
What are we going to eat? What am I going to make? Do I have the right ingredients? And that right there, we may not know on a conscious level that that's stressing us out, but I guarantee you it's contributing to our stress.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. And, you know, it's another decision that you need to make on the fly, which, again, that adds stress. So anytime you can eliminate decision-making, it's a better day, you know. There's a reason why the president only wears two color suits. He only wears black suits and gray suits. That's it. It's to eliminate decision-making. He looks in his closet. He knows these two colors look good on me. I'm going to wear them. I need that brain power for other things.
I love it.
It's true. He did an interview with Vanity Fair, and he said, that's why I only wear these two colors. That's it, because I don't need to be making these decisions. The same thing with, I make meetings or phone calls at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Those are the only two times that I do it. You know, sometimes there are times when I, you know, fluctuate that or move it around or whatever, but for the most part, those are my two times. So it's not always like, oh, what time works for you? And go back and forth and back and forth. It's like 11 a.m. or 3 p.m., pick one, you know? And in the same way that if you were to call the dentist and say, I need an appointment, and they say, I have 11 a.m. or I have 3 p.m., which do you want? People make it work, you know?
Just
that decision-making, for me, it makes it so much easier.
Absolutely. I love some of these points that you're making, actually all of these points that you're making, because they're thinking how I can, you're allowing me to think about how I can get even more efficient, because I think that I'm the efficiency queen, and that's how lists help me, is to be more efficient. But, oh my goodness, I'm just having so much fun with you. I don't want to go to commercial, but that's where we're going now. So we'll be back in just a moment with Fox News producer and author of Listful Thinking, Paula Rizzo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hello and welcome back. You can listen again and share this episode on Listful Thinking with Paula Rizzo on pixiedustradio.com. Now, Paula, I know that we may be being redundant here, but I don't think so. I'm curious, what are some of the most important lists to make? Because I know we've talked about, you know, to-do lists, but in your opinion, I mean, I know you talk about gratitude lists too. Is that one that you would say is an important list to make?
For sure. I think, you know, all of us get into a funk and we feel like nothing is going right and today was awful and all of these things. And so I think that's the easiest list to use to really pull yourself out and say, hey, you know what? Let me think of some things that I'm actually grateful for that worked out today. And it doesn't have to be something that's like over the top, amazing. Like, you know, I closed the biggest deal of my entire, you know, work career. It could be mangoes are in season and I love mangoes. And so I was able to go to the grocery store and get a mango, you know, just being able to say, you know, I talked to my best friend today on the phone and I haven't spoken to her, you know, in 6 months or whatever it is. Or I got a call from so-and-so, or I got a card, or, you know, I went and picked up my Christmas tree, whatever, you know, whatever it is that really gave you a little bit of a boost. Because when you start to think of those tiny things, you look through the day and you say, okay, you know what, it wasn't so terrible. There's a lot of things that I am actually grateful for, that I'm just sort of being a brat about what went down today. So that's a good way to kind of bring yourself out of that funk. I also really love the pro and cons list for any kind of decision making, because I feel like, again, this is, you know, a lot of ideas are stuck in your head and you think like, oh, I should definitely take that job because it's so much more money, you know. And then when you sit down with your list and you say, well, yeah, I mean, I would make a lot of money, but I'd be commuting an extra hour, and so I wouldn't have time with my kids, and being able to just like plan it out on paper and look at it that way, I think that's super helpful. And just because there's more pros than cons doesn't necessarily mean that that's a really great idea. You know, I think it's that you need to really weigh out how much each of those items actually, you know, will impact your life. So I think that's really important. And I also really love to make life lists or bucket lists. You know, I talked about this a little bit before, but if, you know, anything that you can do to sort of dream and write things down, maybe you do it once a year. I usually make a new vision board once a year around January, because it's, you know, start of the new year, and I look back at my old vision board to see what was on there. And all you have to do is really, you can do it digitally, or you can just cut out some pictures and words and things that you like from magazines, you know, and stick them onto a little poster board, and, you know, stick it up in your office, or in, I put mine in my closet so that I see it every day. And it's just a fun project. It's fun to do with kids too, and, you know, just have them put their favorite things on there. And it's funny because you actually, consciously or not, some of those things actually come to fruition without you even really pushing for it. It's just, you know, it's sort of subconscious.
Yeah, I think actually more oftentimes than not, they come to fruition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with so many lists, and you've kind of answered this, but I think I want it to be a little bit more explicit. With so many lists, how do we keep them organized?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing, right? I love to make lists and put them everywhere, and then how do I find them? So I think just really being purposeful about where you put them. Which apps you use for which kinds of things. Like I also use Goodreads, and I only put book recommendations in Goodreads. That's it. Like I'm not writing them in my notes section of my iPhone or anything like that. And then being able to sort of do a check-in with yourself. I'll do this also and make a sort of meeting maker to, you know, let's say every 6 months or whatever it is that you decide, look at the goal list that you had made and say, okay, you know, let me look at that list, set a meeting maker with myself for, you know, whatever it is, Saturday or something, and you're able to go and look back at that list and say, okay, here's some goals that I had set for this 6 months. Where have I gotten? What have I done? And do like a little check-in with yourself. I find that to be really, really helpful to do like a little bit of an audit on some of the lists.
Well, are there other mistakes that people make with lists? Because we've talked about the mistake around, you know, they're all over the place and they're scattered. So, you know, we've just addressed organizing. What other big mistakes do you see that people make with list making?
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that people really, you know, put everything on that one list, you know. And so for me, I make that list that I make before I leave work every day is split. On the left-hand side is everything I have to do for work, and on the right-hand side are some home things that I have to do. So if I have to go to the bank or I have to pick up dry cleaning or whatever, that goes on the right-hand side. So that right away, I've already done some prep work. When I look at the list, I don't have to decipher it. I know what's a work thing and what's a home thing. And then that helps me prioritize it better. Because I know, okay, well, I need to go to this meeting. That's more important than picking up my dry cleaning, you know. So having those lists separately, I think, is really helpful. And the other thing is that people put really huge to-dos on their lists, and that's a huge mistake. So they'll write things like, write book. And, like, there is no way at the end of this week you're going to write a book, you know. So it needs to be more, you know, streamlined and have shorter, more actionable goals, things that you can actually attain. Maybe it's just write a proposal. Even that's a really big thing. Maybe it's just go through and figure out what your table of contents is going to be or, you know, research how to write a proposal. Having those smaller things to get you to the goal, that's the way that you get things done. Instead of just having the one big thing and then feeling like a failure every day that you didn't do that thing, give yourself smaller projects to get to it.
I mean, because don't you agree? I think as humans, we really like the feeling of task completion.
Yep, definitely.
I mean, that's why people put the little box before each item, because they like to make that check, and or they like the feeling of crossing through their to-do, like, ah, task completion done.
Right, exactly.
One time I read that women really like to vacuum, and the reason we do is it's because it is immediate. You look down, you see dog hair, you just go swipe, swipe, and it's done. It's like task completion.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's like, and I don't know that I love to vacuum, but I do get a sense of satisfaction from running the vacuum, a task I can do in just a couple of minutes, and it's like, oh, look, it's like totally done. So I love that crossing through. Now, I have a friend who at the end of the day, and I want your opinion on this, because I don't know, I shouldn't give my opinion first. Let me just ask you yours. She doesn't do a to-do list, or she does kind of like a half-baked one. And then at the end of the day, she will write down all of the things that she accomplished, like all of the things that should have been on the list. And then she says she sits down with a glass of wine and crosses through each one of them.
I love it.
Because it just makes her feel good.
Well, I would do a little bit of both. And I do do that sometimes. When I do something that wasn't on the list, I write it down and cross it off because I'm like, look at me. I've been doing so much. I'm really on my game today. I even am doing things that are not on the list today. So I think whatever gets you through is good. I think not making a to-do list is a problem, but I think if you're able to go back and look through all the things that you actually did accomplish, I think that's also a very good tactic. And there's an app, it's called I Done This. And that's exactly what it's for. It's for the things that you can write down what you did today. So that's also good when you feel like, oh, I didn't do anything today. Today was a total waste of time. Nothing happened. And then when you sit back and you really think it through and you look at it, it is like a pat on the back. So it is a nice way to motivate yourself.
You know, and I think it's also, when we were talking about health earlier, we didn't talk specifically about sleep. But when you think about that app, I Done This, or when I'm in bed at night and I'm kind of going over not my list of things to do for tomorrow, because those are already written down, but when I'm thinking about what I accomplished for the day, it does help me drift into sleep a lot faster. I think I stay asleep because I've got this thing like, okay, I got that. My list has my back.
Yep.
But also I feel a sense of accomplishment. So I think sleep is definitely a major factor here in the list making.
Definitely. Because it's that jumping out of bed in the middle of the night saying, oh, I forgot to do this, or I have to pack a lunch, or, oh, I didn't sign that permission slip, or whatever it is. If you can not have that happen to you and sleep restfully for the whole day, for the whole night, it's so much better. And there's actually a woman I know who does these lists. She makes them the night before, and she makes one list for every kid, and she puts them on a Post-it, and she puts them by the door. And it's sort of just like a little checklist. And so every day it's like, do you have your lunch? Do you have your permission slip for this and your homework for that and your after school, whatever, whatever it is that the kid needs. And they check off everything before they leave, and then they throw away that list. And then the next day she'll make another list. And so each one is just as you're running out the door, it's a little list for the kid to go through to make sure they have everything.
And I'm guessing her kids are probably pretty young, because at some point you're actually debilitating them from actually, doing that for themselves. Do you know what I mean?
They're little. Yep. They're very small. And so she says she hopes that eventually they'll then make the list for themselves.
Right. Yeah. Most definitely. Because, when my kids were little, I think I maybe did too much. And I wonder how much is, list making for others, like our children, versus control freak. How much, where's that fine balance between I want all these things done? And so I think it just makes common sense to write it down so they can see it. They have a reminder. And for my kids, it's before bedtime. So they're 13 and 16. I don't need to say this needs to happen right now.
Sure.
So that's their flexibility of managing their time. And they know what time bedtime is and what time their devices have to come downstairs. And so they don't have phones in their rooms and all that. So it's like all this stuff has to be done before then. At least they get a little bit. It's like kind of loosening the air, giving them more rope, not to hang themselves, but more rope to just kind of turn into the men that they're going to be.
Definitely, right, and allowing them to do that, because that's also a problem too. A lot of times people will say, oh, I'm just not organized. My mother was super organized, and she always did it for us. So the person never learned that skill to then be able to do it themselves. So I think you're right. I think that that becomes then a problem. And that also happens a lot. Sometimes you'll find people who manage, manage people. Sometimes you'll be like, oh, it'll just be so much easier if I just do it myself. And sometimes it is, but then sometimes it's like you become the go-to for that. So sometimes pushing back just a little bit can be helpful in that way too.
Now, in the same vein, I'm curious, do you think there's such a thing as going overboard with making lists?
Probably. Probably yeah. Me. I think I think it can be overboard if you're not utilizing them. You know, if you're using, and this happens sometimes, you'll buy like the most beautiful notebook because you think, oh, I'll write lists in this. This will be great. And you write one list in there, and then you have another notebook where you're writing another list, and then you feel more scattered and more all over the place because you can't find anything. Yes, I think that's a problem.
Stop describing me to myself.
Right? Well. I do it all the time too, all the time. And I need to like reel myself in and be like, okay, wait a minute. If I write this over here, I'm not going to be able to access it. And so another thing that I've started to use is Evernote, which is a fantastic way to sort of capture information that I don't want to lose, that I don't necessarily need to have with me at all times. So for Evernote, it's sort of like a trunk where you can just keep stuff. So I'll keep, like let's say, you know, for my taxes, I have a notebook just for tax stuff that I forward into Evernote. And so if I have tax write-offs or I have information or whatever, it just goes into Evernote so I know where to find it. And so I'm capturing things as I go. Same thing for recipes. I have a folder just for recipes in Evernote. So they have this little web clipper tool that you can download and put it on Chrome or whatever it is, whatever browser you're using. And you're able to clip whatever, let's say, article or, recipe that you have there, and it just captures it and puts it right into Evernote. And I did a lot of research, you know, for my book this way, too. So I was able to capture the stuff and put it over there into Evernote. And sometimes, you know, you'll write a handwritten note or, you know, a list. When you write a particularly good list that you want to keep or something that's handwritten, you can actually take a photo of it and upload it into Evernote, and it becomes searchable. It actually will search your handwriting for keywords. And so it's like a great way to just, you know, forward things that you think you might need, that you want to keep track of, and have all of these notebooks for trips or, you know, the holidays or whatever it is, goals that you're setting, that kind of thing, just to have one place where you're finding all of these things.
Okay, well, I'm going to give Evernote another try. I pulled it up probably a year ago. I looked at it, and I got overwhelmed, but you're talking to the pen and paper girl. I think
totally.
I'll give it another try, but not before I try Wunderlist app first, because that seems like a no-brainer.
They're different. You know, it's definitely different. Mm-hmm. I don't make regular lists in Evernote, you know, not like a list to go to the store or whatever. I'll do that only in Wunderlist. But a lot of times people say, oh, I tried Evernote and I couldn't get into it. And I actually wrote a post on my blog, listproducer.com, about that, why you should give Evernote a second chance. And I talk all about like why, you know, what I use it for. And I think one of the big things is that you need to use it on the desktop first. Use it in the browser and put as much information into it as possible, and then it becomes more useful as an app. So I found like just starting to use it as an app wasn't that helpful for me.
I see. Okay, well, I'm going to give it another try.
Give it a shot. Yep.
Give it a shot. Well, I'm Leslie Green, and Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust will continue in just a moment with Paula Rizzo. We'll be right back.
You'd like to learn more? Do you learn better through story rather than step-by-step instructions? For some things, step-by-step instructions are a necessity. But when it comes to the softer skill things in life, things like learning to trust yourself and love yourself, the gentle nature and subtlety of a story can be a much better teacher. In Leslie's book, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, available in Amazon, she shares 50 true stories, all with loving yourself and trusting yourself as the main characters. You will also find chapters on letting go, finding your inner strength, the gift of surrender, and even an entire chapter dedicated to pixie dust. Yes, in case you're stumped, Leslie comes out and tells you what the pixie dust actually is and how you can apply its magic directly to your life. Not just another inspirational book full of feel-good stories. book has teeth and will provide you with a practical approach on learning to love yourself and trust yourself, to find a place of inner peace. Take a spin for yourself. Read the first chapter completely free. Leslie's gift to you. Visit her blog, trustlifetoday.com, to receive a free copy of Chapter 1, You Are Not Alone. Or go directly to Amazon for your very own hard copy or ebook version of Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Begin today to experience the magic within. And now, let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello and welcome back. You can listen again and share this episode on Listful Thinking, which is also the title of Paula's book. You can share that with a friend on pixiedustradio.com. So Paula, along with being a Fox News producer and the author of Listful Thinking, you're also the founder of your blog, listproducer.com, and an Emmy Award winner. So congratulations on both of those things, because it's not easy to run a blog, and I'm sure it's not the easiest thing to be an Emmy Award winner. So I understand that you attribute much of your success to what you call your compulsive list making. I think we're both self-declared compulsive list makers. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about that, and also why did you start listproducer.com?
Yeah, I think, you know, listproducer.com, I started in April 2011, and it was really, you know, after looking for that apartment, having problems, and then seeing, oh, the power of the list can actually help me. And so through that process, I started the blog, and I started to hear from a lot of crazy list people just like us who were, you know, loving lists or, you know, maybe making lists but not using them to their full potential. And I also found a lot of celebrities who use lists. So I felt like, oh, I'm justified. This crazy habit of mine, look, very successful people do it. And I also found that there are people who work in very, you know, like doctors, surgeons use checklists, and pilots from, you know, the beginning of a flight to the very end of a flight, they go through something like 13 checklists to get through, you know, something that they're highly skilled to do, but things pop up and distractions happen, and having that guide to just check things off so they don't have to keep all that information in their head at all times is what the big difference is. And that's, you know, a lot of CEOs, they're using lists constantly because they say, I don't need to keep it in my head. I need to write it down and then get it, you know, into motion instead of keeping it in my head and then forgetting about it. So once I started to see, oh, okay, so I'm not the only person doing this kind of thing. There are other people who are super successful. This is the link that brings everybody together. You know, Richard Branson is a huge list maker. He's even written about it on his blog about, you know, all the lists that he's made through his life, and sometimes it's just fun to just make lists of things that you like. And there's actually a new app out that's called The List. And it's a really fun app where you just share lists of stuff, like lists of your favorite, you know, your favorite bands or your favorite foods or whatever. And so it's fun to see some of the celebrity lists on there too. I know a lot of like the celebrity chefs have a lot of stuff on there. And so it's a little voyeuristic to see other people's lists, I think, too. But I just have sort of fallen in love with every aspect of the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's no surprise that I'm a subscriber to your blog. And yeah, I know. And when I saw there that you're offering a course that's called Take Back Your Inbox, that was like, ooh, I kind of need a little help there with my inbox because I think I manage it well. Could I manage it better? Yes, I most definitely can. So what can you tell us about that course that you're offering?
Sure. Yeah, it's called Take Back Your Inbox. And I created it because I was having a lot of trouble with my email too. You know, I was sort of overwhelmed and constantly getting emails from all angles and lots of people, and then feeling like, okay, well, I'm not really getting back to anybody. And what I did first was I really looked at the list, or I looked at the list. I looked at the inbox and said, you know, how am I using this inbox? And I was really using it like a free for all. I wanted every free thing that I could get. You know, free ebook, a free PDF, 10% off at the Gap, whatever it was, I signed up for it, you know? And so I had just all of this clutter and all this crazy, like, I was just basically just deleting stuff. That's what going through my inbox was. It was creating so much clutter that a lot of times I was like, why didn't I just unsubscribe to this, you know? It's taking so much more time just to delete it and be annoyed that it's there. And I found a great tool. It's called unroll.me. And if you go there,
I used that.
How many did you have? Did you have a lot? Was it more than you thought?
You know, I've been using it for so long, I don't remember, but I remember being appalled when I first. And it was my business coach who told me about it.
It's amazing.
And yes, oh my gosh.
I know. When I did it too, I was like, I'll probably have about maybe 50, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I had like 350. And it was like all of those things that you sign up for that you just like, you know, throw your email address in and you're like, sure, sure. So once I did that, that was really helpful for me to sort of then do an audit. I also did something really drastic and I deleted every email that I had. and so that makes people really, you know, twitch. Exactly. but my idea behind that was that let me go through, and I went through, you know, the inbox for whatever was, you know, in the last 2-3 weeks that maybe I hadn't gotten to, and I put it on my to-do list to follow up with. And then everything else I just deleted because I thought if I haven't gotten to it and it will come back to me. If somebody actually really needs something, and a lot of it was like, oh, we should meet for coffee, a lot of very open-ended type things, you know, and it's sort of like I felt guilty about that. I felt, you know, annoyed that I hadn't gotten back to people, but I said, you know what, it'll come back to me. If it was meant, it'll come back. So I deleted everything, and then after I deleted everything, things started, the email started to trickle in slowly, and so one at a time, two at a time, I could deal with it as a one-off. You know, one email came in, and my rule is always if I can reply back with a yes or no or forward it to somebody else to deal with, I'll deal with it right then. But if not, I'll wait. And that really helped me also to then go through and unsubscribe from a lot of the things that I thought I really wanted. And then I was like, nah, why? I don't really need this anymore. So that's just like one of the tactics that I took to be able to really control the inbox. And so now I'm very good with email. I write back, you know, fairly quickly. And I just feel much less stressed about it. It's not a big thing for me anymore. So I created the course. It's called Take Back Your Inbox, Stop Drowning in Unread Messages, Respond Quicker, and Finally Achieve Inbox Zero. And it's a lot of these rules and ideas and things that I kind of stumbled upon. And if you go to listproducer.com, you can read all about it.
Well, I highly encourage everybody to go to listproducer.com. I know I find a lot of tips, and like I said, I thought I was the guru, and then I met the queen of the gurus. So Paula Rizzo, queen of the gurus, of the geeks, of the list makers.
I love it. Hey, I love that title.
Put that on your business card, would you?
Right.
I would like to thank you at this time so much for being on today. Thank you for sharing so much of yourself with us.
Sure, of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, between now and next week, you can always find links to our guests. You can forward the show to a friend. You can access Paula's book. You can have a link to her blog. You can access my blog, Trust Life Today, and so much more just by visiting pixiedustradio.com. You can even grab the first chapter of my book, and all of these resources are completely free to you. So your practice until we meet again next Wednesday is to love yourself. So I had a guest on last month, Paula, Laura Doyle. She wrote a book called First Kill All the Marriage Counselors, Funny Lady. I mean, just the title is even funny. But she said that she used to wonder what it looked like to love herself. She was like, does that mean that I'm supposed to give myself a hug? funny lady. But seriously, when you take time to organize your day, prioritize your list of things to do in such a way that you are purposefully leaving time for activities you love. That is what loving yourself looks like. And so your tips, Paula, your suggestions, all of that will help us get there. So between I'm so happy that you shared it all with us. Because between the conversation that we just had, your book, Listful Thinking, your blog, listproducer.com, I mean, we're kind of in this home-free zone here. We just need to do it.
Yep,
so
exactly.
At this point, I'd like to invite all of you listening to meet us out on our Facebook page, the same name as this show, as well as my book, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Share with us something you did to love yourself or how the list making is going for you. Let us follow your progress. Nothing is more rewarding than knowing that we've helped spread more love in the world and have been a part of helping you to begin to think about trust a little differently. learning to love and trust yourself first. We'll see you again next Wednesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. Until then, my prayer for you is this. May you lead your life by love and live your life with trust. Let go and believe a greater outcome is already yours. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. We hope you enjoyed the show. Would you like to find out more about what it means to love yourself and trust yourself? Well, don't wait until next week. Go visit TrustLifeToday.com, where Leslie has been sharing about love and trust since January of 2011, which is a long time in the blogging world. Long enough to build up a hefty supply of resources just for you, making Trust Life Today the ideal place for you to visit between radio shows. The site is full of articles on not only loving yourself and trusting yourself, but also on forgiveness, letting go, celebrating life, and much more. Visit TrustLifeToday.com. Poke around. Leave Leslie a message. Let her know how she can better serve you. And while you're there, why don't you sign up to receive original writings? Only about 2 per month, so nothing that will be too taxing on your inbox. Thank you again for tuning in today. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time.
See you then.
On Love,
Thanks.
Trust,
Bye-bye.
And Pixie Dust.
Bye.
This is the EWN Radio Network.